Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Ms. Sugar of Faith Based Purpose. I am your moderator. Your host is Evangelist Patricia Williams, co-host Reverend Roosevelt Williams. The call-in number for the show is 718-305-6798. Again, that's 718-305-6798. We would love to have you join our discussions. Bring your scripture, bring a friend, and be a part of the show. We thank you for your support. Now let's get back to our discussion.
Good afternoon, faith-based family. This is Ms. Sugar, your moderator, and we have Reverend Williams out of Houston, Texas, and Evangelist Williams of Dallas, Texas, as the host of the show.
Good evening, everybody.
So how's your day going? And Evangelist Williams, I also have you on the line. Is that Evangelist? That's not Evangelist Williams, I don't think. Okay. Reverend Roosevelt, I do have you on the line. And how is your day going?
Right. It's going fine. How are you doing?
I'm doing well, thank you. Before we go into the discussion, I want to play a song and give Evangelist Williams time to kind of come on. So we're going to play this song right now.
All right.
This is Beverly Crawford.
After Beverly Crawford. Love
Max DeWart is a very funny
master. Beverly Crawford. Come on, let's hear it.
All right, that's just the Lord never does anything else for me. He's done enough. All right, we're going to go ahead and start our discussion today. And our main topic is, you all right, Reverend Williams?
Oh, yeah, I'm fine.
Okay. What does it mean? What does it mean to be a Christian? And with that topic, it's more than just what it means to be a Christian. Is what do we have to do to live the Christian life, to live the godly life? And the reason the question is being asked today is because many people, you know, they really want to live a godly life, but we often get conflicted by what that means or what's required or even what's expected. So we're going to explore that today. Welcome, Evangelist Williams.
God bless you guys.
Well, God bless you too.
Good evening.
Now,
good evening, Reverend.
Evangelist, he's speaking to you.
Bless you, Reverend Williams.
Bless you, too. All right. Amen.
As for myself, I believe that it's just basically about being faithful to God, to be a Christian. And that's one of the main things that I think it's about. I guess in accordance with Mark 12:28-30.
Okay, Mark 12:28-30.
And I'll read it. I know Reverend Williams know this by heart because he's quoted it many times on here, so I know that he knows it by heart, but and one of the scribes came, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul, with all thy mind and with all thy strength. And this is the first commandment. I believe that that's kind of speaks for itself. That's what we are supposed to do. I also believe that we're supposed to love your neighbor as yourself, which is stated as the most the greatest commandment. So to me, those are the things that we would have to do in order to prove ourselves as Christians.
Amen.
Okay. Yeah, either one of you.
You want to go first, Minister, or you want me to go?
I can agree with that. It's the word of God, so I have to say amen. Before I share one, Reverend Williams.
Okay. Well, I was sitting down doing some homework, deep homework, and the one thing I want to share with everybody, maybe some know, maybe they do not know, is first of all, understanding the word Christian and how Christian came about. And before you can even walk that, you have to understand what Christian is and what it is about. And okay, I'm not trying to talk nobody like they literally dumb, but we need to really get into understanding what it is and what it's about. If we all go to the book of Acts, chapter 11, verse 26, if you have, okay, the book of Acts, chapter 11. And if you look at verse 26, everybody have it? If not, mm-hmm. I'll read it to you. Okay? And now, here it is. It says, and when he had found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch. Ooh. Now, understanding that it was not that Christians called themselves Christians. It was that during that time, the word Christian was like a word used for mockery. It was used to do that which Jesus had began to teach his disciples, and that was it was used to try to knock the believers down, because in the book of Acts, before they even got to Antioch, and when Stephen was even put to death, the Bible tells us over in the book of Acts, around about sixth chapter, and when you look at verse 7, okay, and it says, and the word of God increased it, and the numbers of disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly, and a great company of the priests were obedient to the faith. Okay? They just began to call themselves, they would call themselves believers who was walking in the faith. Okay? And it said, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and mercies among the people. So, understand that before they were called Christians, they were just called believers. But when they got to Antioch, and Antioch, it wasn't the church, it was the city. It was those who did not believe in Jesus, and they hated Christians, and Christians were being persecuted. And it's just like when slaves, they would call that word that we can't stand. And so it was to make a mockery of the believers by calling them Christian. And so instead of them getting mad and upset, they just went on and clung to it. And they clung to it and began to call them own selves Christians. But if you look at all of Paul's writings, he never called himself a Christian. But there were those who were at Antioch. People began to call them Christians, and they took it up. So now what we understand what the Christian is, Christian is one we're supposed to have love now. But understanding that Christian is that what Jesus says over in the book of Luke, okay? Evangelist, you want to take that over, or you want me to carry it on?
Listen, you can carry it on. I'm ready to get in my car. So if you hear a little bumping going
okay.
on.
All right, okay. Don't get in car. All right. Amen. We can handle that.
I don't.
Okay. Sister Moderator, is it okay going over to the book of Luke, chapter 9 and 22 in the book of Luke. Now, the moderator read the right scripture talking about, first off, loving your neighbor. But also, when you go into the book of Luke, understanding what is it to be a Christian. In the book of Luke, chapter 9, going into verse 22, okay? Let me get there real quickly. Chapter 9, looking at verse 22, and it says, now, let me start at 21. And he straightly charged them and commanded them to tell no man that thing, saying, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected. Understand what he just said in that verse 22. Now, when you go down, he began to say, if any man, at verse 23, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself. You ought to underline that. Put it down. Okay. Write it down. Cross it out.
Okay, now I want to go back before you go any further to verse 22. Because according to mine, the entire verse was not read.
Okay. It says in verse 22.
Yeah.
Okay. It says, the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be slain and be raised the third day.
Okay.
This is Jesus talks about the suffering he's going to have to deal, that the suffering he's going to do.
Okay.
Okay. This is talking about understanding when I said, what is a Christian? The identification of a Christian. Now, what is it to be a Christian? And so Jesus said, first off, suffer. Next, he says, be rejected. Right? And by who? The elders. Talking about people around you. Okay. And then it says, if any man will come after me, okay, to follow him, if you want to put it that way, in the NIV, let him deny himself. Take up his cross daily and follow me. Okay. And then he goes on to verse 24, talking about, if a man will want to lose his life, or whosoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it. And that's how the Christians really began at Antioch, because they began to get persecuted real strongly. And persecution, if you go on and read, you'll find that Herod the Great, the terror, had put James to death. So that's what it means by being a Christian. And it's not just that, because I don't want to get into some other thing that's going to come up in our topic. I don't want to get ahead of our topics that we have. But that's the most important part of being a Christian, is sacrifice, is suffering, being rejected. And how does that fit in our today's time? That persecution wasn't going on like it's in today's time, doesn't go on today as it is then. Ain't nobody taking us, hanging us up to no cross. Ain't nobody trying to put us in no jail. But the way the persecution works is when we look at the word evil, and if you put the D in front of evil, that spells devil. And that's all the persecution is under. It's nobody but the devil. And persecution starts with us. And how does the devil work in us? He works with us physically, spiritually, emotionally. He works with us even, in other words, physically, with our finances, our jobs, our households, our children, everything that we have a desire for, we have. He tries to destroy us with that. Then emotionally, trying to make you feel that you are not saved. Try to make you feel that God don't love you. That feeling that you ain't worth something. When somebody go and take their life, making you feel that you're not worth anything. Then he does it also in our, with our spirit. That's our spiritual, but then emotionally is how we feel about ourselves, how we look at ourselves. Let me take that back. In our lives, when we feel like I'm nothing, I'm nobody. When people tell folks they nobody. When folks tell you you can't do nothing. Okay, Minister Williams, you wanna share in that?
Well, you're doing real good. That's awesome. I totally agree with everything that you're saying. It's just, we have to, if we're going to be Christians, and I like the way, because I studied the same thing today, I like the way that you broke it down. To me, Christian, the way I live a Christian life is to be Christ-like. To think that, you know, we are not doing all the things that Jesus did. You know, haven't done a lot of the things, but he still says greater works. So no matter how people would try to downsize one, we still have that hope, and that hope is in Jesus. So to be Christ-like, we got to have the mind of him. We got to act like we know what we're talking about and who we really are. You know, if people want somebody walk up to me and say, oh, I didn't know you was a mayor. Well, I know I'm a mayor. So they just talking. So that's the same way when it comes to being a Christian or being Christ-like. We need to know that we are in making into his image and after his likeness, just like Christ.
Amen.
I just enjoyed everything you were saying, and especially how you broke it down, where Christians started, because people feel like a Christian is just a person that goes to church. Well, just like you just said, it's as many demons and demons.
Amen.
Next more. You really need to know. We need to know why we need to be a Christian. We really need to know why. We need to know how to be a Christian, and we just need to be a Christian.
Amen. That's awesomely true, you know. And so that's one of the parts. That's the first part we have to be, because Jesus let us know, if you're going to follow me, you got to deny yourself, you know. And
that's right.
So
man.
That's
okay,
gonna,
let me.
That's going to take.
We're on this.
Go
and
ahead.
If somebody's doing it, how do we deny ourselves?
Amen.
How do we deny ourselves? How?
Oh, now we're going to probably go into the doghouse, because that's Sister Sugar.
No, she's doing just. You're doing just fine. You're doing just fine.
So what is
that's the first thing Jesus said is sacrifice.
Yes.
And I don't want to go jumping on the next question.
Well, we can move on to the next question.
Yeah, because because we're talking about. Is in Christ, like I just
yeah,
said.
It's all a part of the same topic.
Amen. Okay.
We deny ourselves. I want you to tell me how you deny yourself too.
Well, we gonna what's gonna the answer gonna come? Jesus already said it. We already read the part. He said deny yourself. Now we need to understand how we deny ourselves. Right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. You have anything you want to say, Sister Sugar?
Go right ahead.
Go right ahead. Amen. All right. So if everybody want to know how to deny yourself and want to be, now understand, when the Christians took on that word, when they went on to accept that name calling, okay, and they didn't look at it as being no blasphemy, they welcomed that. You see, and so the first thing is that when you look at, let's look at the main character of how you deny yourself. Let everybody go to the book of Philippians. Well, let's see. I want to bring in the two scriptures. Let's go first to the book of, now let's go
did
to
you
Philippians
have, 21.
Huh?
Which one, Evangelist Williams? 21 and what? Okay.
Mark 10 and 21.
Uh-uh. But you can read. You can, that's what you have.
Uh-huh.
Philippians chapter. I was doing my study, and I just. It's so many things. It's so many scriptures you can go, but I'm like, we We can't go.
Okay,
through
well,
the whole
just,
Bible,
let's give us one because she's going to be leaving us here in a few minutes. So let's go ahead and cover what we can cover.
But I can let her.
I've got my.
You turn it.
Okay.
Go there.
Okay.
You got
the
yours.
Scripture that you were giving us, were you? Did you say Mark or Philippians? Because I got two things
Mark.
There. Sound like.
I got Philippians.
I was asking Reverend Williams, did he have Mark 10 and 21?
Okay.
Mark 10 and 21? No,
okay.
I don't have
Mark
that,
10 21.
I can let you share it if you want to share.
Somebody read, because that has some good nuggets in it about us sacrificing.
Okay. Mark 10, 21 from the King James Version says, then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest, go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up the cross, and follow me.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, that's a good one. All right.
That's
amen.
Our sacrifice is on the love we have for others. You know, some of us are so selfish. Everything that we have, we think it belongs to us, just us. Me, my four, and no more. And it's a sacrifice. This is a sacrificial life. God sacrificed his son. Love did that. Love did that. And there are many sacrifices that we as Christians have to do just so the world can know that we are Christians.
Uh-huh. Amen.
Okay.
I agree. We totally agree. Amen. And that's one way he was telling the man to give up what he had.
Yeah.
See, there's another scripture in Luke that talks about a young man when Jesus told him to go sell all he had. He was talking about how he did this, how he did. Yeah, and then when Jesus told him to go sell all he had, he got to talking about he had this since this was inherited to him. And he had to put his head down and walk away. And that's
right.
The lesson we talked about last week. How
mm-hmm.
can a man go through how you can go through a camel can go through the eye of a needle? And so
Yes. That's
one thing. That's one of the sacrifices God wants us to be able to have.
Okay.
And the one I wanted to share was
it's Philippians.
The Philippians.
What?
Chapter 2.
Okay.
Okay.
In verse.
It's mostly the whole thing, but let's start. I just put that chapter 5. Okay. We can just go. I mean, not chapter 5, verse 5. Let's just start there. Okay. And the one thing, if we want to be Christian, it says, let this mind be in you.
A good one.
Okay.
Chapter,
yeah, I was trying to see where
two,
we were reading
five.
To. But, okay.
Chapter 2 in Philippians.
Yeah, I got chapter 2, verse 5. I was trying to see where we were reading to. That's fine.
I'm just taking you a couple of ways because I really want, but I asked readers to read the whole thing and catch it fuller. Because here he says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Okay? Jesus who came down and was a man just like we are, walked in the flesh just like we do. Okay? Who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God. In other words, not trying to think you all that and then some and a bag of chips that can't nobody tell you nothing. And so he's saying, I'm not trying to be equal to God. I'm going to make my... He came down to be little more than the angels. And he said, but made himself of no reputation. Okay? It was the part that Minister Williams was reading over there in the book of Mark.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? When you got stuff, you're not trying to make yourself all that. And he says, and took of him the form of a servant, that sacrifice, and was made in the likeness of men. Jesus, who was higher than everybody, came down from heaven, sitting on the right hand of God. He was the king, king of kings, everything there is. And here he come down to sit among us, and here he says became a servant. And not only that, and made in the likeness of men, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself.
Yes.
And became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And that which he said in the garden, not my will, but thy will shall be done. And the whole result of it is, wherefore God also has highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name.
All right.
And so to be a Christian, that's where the sacrifice comes from, first in humbleness. A person that is all boastful and all pride walks around with pride like you can't tell him nothing. God wants us to have pride, but pride in the work that we do, not pride that I ain't telling nobody I'm sorry. I'm not telling nobody forgive me. Ain't nobody ever telling me. I hear folks always hollering about, ain't nobody going to talk to me that way. Well, sometimes them Christians back then, let them, and even the slaves back then, let them stand up there and tell them, yeah, master ain't going to talk to me crazy. You be out there tied up on one of them posts and get the daylight beat out of you. Folks get on a job, want to holler about it. Ain't nobody going to tell me nothing. Well, I tell you what, you sure won't get told nothing. You'll be sitting at home without a job.
I'm going to have to comment on that, because you make it seem, what you're saying and the way you, that last part that you stated, it make it sound as though Christians have to take verbal abuse.
And sometimes it's best to.
Now, is that because they are a Christian? I need this to be explained and need this to be understood. Because is that because they are
a
Christian? Now, let me finish the question, if you don't mind. Let me finish the question.
Okay.
Is that because. And I want to say hello to. To Ron in the chat room. Hello, Ron. Thank you for joining us. I want to know, does this mean, do you take that abuse because you are a Christian, or do you take that abuse because you want to keep your job? You see, because you made parables there. You said that a slave would not stand up to master and say that, but that's because they wanted to keep their life. It wasn't because they were Christians that they didn't stand up and say what they wanted to say. It was for fear of their life.
Let me put it this way. I'm getting ready to quote a scripture that's in the Bible, and minister, she knows it. The Bible says, be slow to speak. Is that right, minister?
It's in there.
Okay.
Okay.
I can agree with that.
Hold on. Be slow to anger.
Okay? I can agree with that.
See, we want to get into, okay, understanding in this country, we supposed to have civil rights. That's true. But just as you said, them slaves were scared of losing their life. Okay. Now, just because your boss said something you didn't like or you didn't appreciate it, guess who the power still, who hands it still hold in? That can say, he might not like how you gonna get ready to come in there and tell him off. And ain't your job your life?
No, it's not. It has never been for me. And I'm speaking for me, you know, because I tell you that I can speak from my life experience, because when I worked at the prison system, and my supervisor told me what he wanted me to do, and I chose not to do it, and his words to me were, I am your superior. You will do what I say do. And no, as a Christian, I didn't keep my mouth shut. My words to him was, my superior is God in heaven. You are my supervisor. And we don't need to get the two confused. So this is just Miss Sugar talking now. I do not believe, and I may be wrong. I wasn't angry when I said it. I said it from my heart. And I felt like I said the right thing, because if I can't stand up for God, no matter where I work, if I can't speak of God, and I told them this on a job when I moved to Houston years ago before I moved away, and on the job I was on, and they would say certain things, and you can't say this. If I can't talk about God on the job, I'm on the wrong job. And there are jobs that you cannot talk about God on. There are, in the school system, Evangelist Williams, you know the story. You get there and you can't say certain things. So my question still stands. As a Christian, you're telling me that there's certain things I was supposed to let this man tell me he was my superior. He's not my superior.
He
was my supervisor. No, there is one God. There is one God.
That's true. But understand it. The Bible says obey authority.
I was going to obey his authority, but that does not mean I have to accept the fact that he looks at himself as my superior. He is not my superior. He is my supervisor.
Well, you're looking at it in a thing of supernatural. I'm looking
Somebody on Evangelist Williams' job. Say Evangelist Williams is working, and one of the male employees there make advances at her or walk up and hit her on her behind. Now, that's her supervisor. Wait a minute. That's her supervisor. Is she supposed to hold her tongue and keep that job?
No. Sugar, you're taking it out of proportion. This is what I'm talking about. Let me give you my example, what I had experienced.
Okay.
My own self. Okay. I have a boss that comes up to me, and I just got to work.
Mm-hmm.
And only thing I did was came in and she railed all up my spine.
Okay.
You did this, you did that. You supposed to be in where you did this, da 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 da. Well, the first thing jumped in my mind was, let me tell her something. But then I had to understand that song you played of Jesus in me. I had a boss man even tell me, the head boss man, you a thief, you a liar, you this and that and that. And I could have been terminated. But the one thing about it, what I'm saying is, there are times we need to be quiet.
So when you were accused of being a thief and a liar, you said nothing. You didn't say I didn't do it. You said nothing.
I'm not terminated.
Okay, now you stop right there. Now, Evangelist Williams.
I still got my job.
Evangelist Williams.
Hey, there's a scripture that says, if I hold my peace, the Lord will fight my battle. It may not be in those words.
There you go. That's the only thing I'm saying.
We don't have to be mistreated and abused. But, you know, because we're Christians, people will treat us differently on our jobs, in our neighborhood. They'll do things to bring out your own nature. But what I understood Williams to say was, that for the sake of Christ, to let the world know that we are Christ-like. Some things we don't have to comment on. Some things we don't have to, you know, you don't have to defend, you know, you don't have to defend Christ. He'll fight for you. Just shut your mouth and don't say anything. The job that I was on, a supervisor there in Conroe for 3 years, I was told when I went there, and the young lady that got me on told me, she said, let me warn you of one thing, because I know you love Jesus and da 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 da. She said, but let me warn you of one thing. Our boss is a lesbian. She don't want to hear Jesus come out of none of our mouth. Okay? I wasn't going to go on the job singing Jesus, Jesus, Jesus anyway. I wasn't going to go on the job talking about my church activities and all that kind of stuff. But when I got the opportunity, she came to the house that I was supervising and sat down one day and began to tell me about her problem. I had to talk about Jesus. And you know what she done? She sat there and tears rolled down her face, and she said, thank you. I needed that. Now, I didn't go on the job and let them know that I was all about Jesus. They saw Jesus in me. They saw him in me. If had Jesus not opened the door, the opportunity for me to minister to her and witness to her, I wouldn't have. Because he tells us not to cast our pearl before swine. But we're not, as Christians, we may be mistreated. And the Bible said, Paul, I believe, was ministering, preaching to one of the churches, and he said he counted a privilege to suffer for Christ. You know, it was okay. And they beat him until blood run down his back. Put him in prison and did all kinds of things. A lot of times, we are not, nobody's doing nothing to us. That's why we're not suffering for Christ. But we were talking about the sacrifices that we make. It brings about suffering to a certain extent. And a lot of times, yes, we will open our mouth. You know, we were in school. We almost got beat to death for laughing. But that wasn't for the sake of Christ, and we still got beat. It wasn't because we were slaves, but we still got beat. See, sometimes we open our mouth at the wrong time, to the wrong people, in the wrong season, and we caused it ourselves. But when we think in terms of holding our peace and letting God fight for us, it's a whole different ballgame. Sometimes you have to close your mouth. And whether it be to show your Christ-like character or whether it be to let people know who you are, a lot of times people say, oh, I'm not a coward, so I'm going to open my mouth, and you get put in jail just for opening your mouth the wrong time.
Amen.
I agree with both of you that there are times when you don't have to say something. I do agree with that. I totally agree with that. But I still stand by that there are times when you do say something. I believe that.
There are times.
Okay, let's go back to the time that probably only you and I know about. Well, we know about Evangelist Williams, about the laughing. Now, the way you explain it is because we were laughing, we brought it on ourselves.
Right.
Okay. But now here's the thing: the end result resulted in someone else coming and speaking up. Okay,
what?
Now, that person that came and spoke up, were they not supposed to speak up? You see, I mean, because
yeah, were.
There are
but
times
truly,
when
but,
there are
so
times.
We were out to talk back. You probably would have got beat worse than we did.
I understand that, but what I'm saying is there are times when you when something needs to be said. It just needs to be said.
Right. Sometimes we cause problems to be worse than they are by the spirit that we speak in. The Bible says
that I totally agree with. And like I say, and I've always said that it's not what you say, it's how you say it.
Right.
I firmly believe that.
But there are times that because you didn't speak up, God saying, be slow. Hold your peace. Okay? I'll send somebody to speak up for you. Every time, everything ain't your battle. Let God handle it sometimes.
Right.
That's why Jesus said when they grab you and take you in the courtroom, that's why Jesus said, don't think about what you're going to say when you go into a courtroom. The Spirit will hear you at that time. And that's what slow to speak means.
Okay.
Sometimes we need to ask God, is do I need to speak, or Lord, do I need to hold my peace?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Because
okay.
What I need to say,
like
we'll just listen by the Spirit. God will always tell us, he will, you know, even if we get ourselves into trouble, he'll help us get out. You know, I've gotten myself into some things, and God got me out because I didn't know how to get out. Sometimes we start talking and saying the wrong stuff. We get deep and deeper into a mess.
Yeah. And that's
okay.
The only thing it's talking
all
about.
Right. Well,
to be a Christian is to know when to speak. Because
and
I
that's,
told
that's,
you
that's
that first,
exactly what I said. There are times when you do have to speak up. There are times.
Right.
And that's exactly what you're
that,
saying.
The Lord will tell you but what we're trying to get to understand it is, what is it to be a Christian? And the thing
right.
is, Jesus said, follow me. Pick up your cross daily. He ain't said nothing about speak when they tell with nobody. He said when you are persecuted, for righteousness' sake. Understand, there are people that don't even know I'm a preacher. But yet, the devil knows, that spirit knows who you are. And he, just as God sends folks in on your behalf, he's sending something dirty and low down on his behalf.
What?
Who will lie, steal, kill, cheat, do everything.
Yes, he does.
And sometimes you just have to allow God to step in. That's called faith. Remember, these people call people walking in the faith.
Right.
Jesus stood there, and they accused him. They did everything. And the only thing he said was, they asked him, are you king of the Jews? He said, you say, if you
mm-hmm.
say so. Pilate said, don't you know I can save you. He said, the only power you have is what my Father gives you.
Right.
We need to
and you know what? Now, he had the authority to kill them all, and he still didn't do nothing. He had the authority. He was the Son of God.
I'm not saying we walk in stupid faith. There is
right.
a time you speak up for yourself.
That's I understand
you all by yourself. Okay.
And you're not saying that being meek is being weak.
No.
Sometimes people think
no, I don't believe that being meek is being weak. As Reverend Williams keep explaining it, he's still saying what I said, that there are times when you have to speak up. He said that several times. But then we keep going back to no, you don't speak up. And see, that's what
no,
can be confusing.
That's not what we're saying. We're saying, do you know that when you walk into a place, when somebody pick at you, you can tell it. When somebody say something to you, they trying to draw out of you what you proclaim.
Okay, I'm not talking about, okay, well, we're going to move on from that because I think that, yeah, we're going to move on from that.
Well, we really need to clarify for the listeners so that everybody can understand.
Well, but we're
really
talking
trying to
in,
say.
We're talking
we
in the in like in
time.
Circles.
And there are times, because the Bible in Ecclesiastes says the time and season of everything. So there are times when we as Christians have to speak up. We need to know the spirit to speak in. We need to be meek and humble when we speak. We can speak with authority.
Yeah.
Still be humble. We can speak with authority and still be meek. We don't have to get out of our character when we are confronted to say something or to defend whatever. But we don't need to act like that every time somebody jumps at us, we need to jump back at them.
Right, but that's not what I said. I don't think that's what I said. And I know that. At least one of you know that that's not my character.
No. You're
so
right.
That's not what I said.
Understand
what?
That there are times when we have to. But it's a
but
time.
But times, just because. Yeah, go ahead, Minister.
It's just a time that we have to speak up, and then it's a time that we think we have to speak up. We shouldn't open our mouth. Now I'm going to leave it right there.
And that's why it says over in the book of Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, to everything there is a fee. We have to know we.
In all your ways and knowledge.
Yeah, no. To everything there's a time. To everything there's a fee. There's a time, for dying. There's a time for living. There's a time for loving. There's a time for letting loose. There's a time for everything.
Okay, and that was what I said, is that...
Okay.
And that was the question. Were you saying that as a Christian, you're not supposed to speak up? And I think I'm going to go back and play this back, but I think I said there are times when you have to speak up for yourself. I think that's what I said, and I may not have.
We agree with that.
We agree with that. I'm just saying, there are some things. It's like if somebody tell me you can't talk about Jesus on this job, that's their job. Okay. But does that take Jesus out of me?
No, you can just leave the job.
I can talk about Jesus on my lunch break. They tell me I can't wear, on my job, they actually tell us we cannot wear anything with writing on it that signifies anything. But that was because they had singled out the church-going people and said we couldn't wear T-shirts, Jesus, or anything on it.
Right.
And so I was offended. But then I'm like this, okay, when I leave my job, when I go to work, Jesus is always with me. It's in my heart.
Right.
So the only thing I have to do, Sister Sugar, that song that you play, I've been singing that song for the past one or two. I love that song. Wish you would play it again. The Jesus in Me, I love that. Because it helps me to every day remember it's the God, it's Jesus who died and said, pick up your cross. That's the only thing we're talking about. What it is to be a Christian. Pick up your cross daily.
Okay. Well, I think we stayed on this topic. I think we stayed on this topic too long because our chat room guest has left and we have callers that have dropped the call, So, we're going to move on to the next topic.
Okay.
The next question is just going to be, and we're gonna get done and wrap it up because we probably have covered most of it. Can a reborn person ever be condemned again?
I wouldn't say again. But a reborn
condemned. Can a reborn person ever be condemned?
Well, in the book of Romans, it talks about them in the book of Romans over in chapter 2. It's at verse 28. But it begins to talk about how people obtain God. They talk godly, but they did not obtain God in their heart. He's supposed to be born again Christian, but they were living the life of sin, and so it says that they it says, and even in Romans, the first chapter, verse 28, not 7, but in the first chapter, verse 28, it says, and even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And when you look up reprobate, that means convenient. Okay? And so we can still condemn our own selves, because even Jesus said many are going to say, Lord, Lord. And it's how our character is, if we walking out of character of what Jesus has called us. You know, and in the Baptist church, everybody say, once saved, always saved. You know, and I don't like to use that, because if the Bible tells us what Jesus says, he's telling you, many going to say, we cast out demons, we did this and did that. And so he let you know, depart from me, work of iniquity. And so my thing is that, yeah, you can condemn you. It's not that God's going to condemn you. You get your own self condemned and falling out of grace. But I believe that while we're on this side, everybody has a chance to get straightened up, you know. So that's my take on that.
Okay.
Well,
so to disagree with once saved, always saved, because the Bible said that sin separates us.
Amen.
If I become saved today and I confess Christ and I begin to walk upright, I suppose, and I leave the Lord the next month, I cannot truthfully say that everything is still good and I'm all hunky-dory with Jesus and blah, 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 blah. I just left the Lord and I need to do my first works over. The Bible speaks of that. So we talk about this, once saved, always saved. It's just a myth.
Hey.
We're just talking because somebody else.
Amen.
Tell you something. Yeah. And I know I had no privilege with God until I repented and came back to him. That's what we need to do. Repent and come back. Don't just come back because you got saved when you were 12 years old and confess Christ. You didn't live like a dog and a pig, and then you're going to say you still saved. No, you're lying. You're fooling your own self.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
You can't do it.
Amen. And that's a doctrine that they teach, you know.
Yeah, well, I tell you one thing. You teach me to read the word. Because if you leave God, if you leave Lord, you got to repent and come back. The Bible said, do your first works over. How you going to just take up where you,
Because they use the scripture, we all come short.
We have, yeah. we have all come short. Sin and come short of the glory of God. Before we repent and God.
Amen. And then they want to use that we are all justified. Yeah, you're justified, but once you get justified, you're supposed to walk under that grace.
That's right. You know what? He don't justify sin. He condemns sin. And Romans 6 and 1 down through 15 tells us that he condemns sin. He came to give us hope that we could live a clean life. The Jesus in us
I
is
agree.
Clean. So we don't need to just, you know, play like we can go get drunk today and repent and keep on getting drunk. You know.
Thank you.
Amen. Get from being drunk and stay sober. And we can stay sober because the liquor don't run and jump in our pocket. We go buy it. The cigarettes and the dope and stuff don't jump in our pocket. We go buy that stuff. So we can keep from buying it. We can live right if we want to.
Amen. Amen. If you desire to do so, you can do it.
That's exactly right. I mean, he is our hope. He gives us strength.
Amen.
We can do this thing. So we began to preach such a weak gospel. The gospel was not weak. It was not weak.
No, it wasn't.
It wasn't weak.
And the thing is just that people want to take the word of God to make it a mockery.
Right.
And so
they like to take it out of content to fit them. Well, if I get mad at you and curse you, I want to say, well, I just got mad. Well, you just need to keep from getting mad.
Amen. You know, and it's that people condemn their own self, and folks misleading people have people going astray also. And
you know,
like
they want people to agree with them in their wrong. That's why,
amen,
you know, I just basically stand alone with other folk that believe just like me, because if I'm wrong, I don't want you to say amen to me, and I'm wrong. If I'm wrong, I'm just
amen.
Wrong.
Amen.
And I need to correct.
And I agree everything you're saying. I agree,
you know, if you love me,
saying,
don't mind correcting me. I don't mind. I can stand just fine. I can stand for you to come tell me, you know, that wasn't right the way you handled that. You know, you could have said that a better way. Well, if I'm wrong, of course my flesh is going to get mad. but I need to really press past my flesh and how I feel and love you for correcting me.
Mm-hmm.
Some of us don't want to hear nobody tell us nothing. Sanchez Ponzi. And the Bible said, if you can't stand chastisement, you're a bastard. You're not no son and daughter of God if you can't stand chastisement. He called you a bastard in the Bible.
Yep. He said, children that are not of God, and that's what they are.
That's right.
Amen.
Exactly right. And a lot of people are saying, Lord, Lord. And we're not going to make it in living like we want to live and doing like we want to do.
Yep.
It's all right. I get mad and get ready to shoot somebody. That's crazy.
Mm-hmm. Because even Jesus called the Pharisees out.
He did.
Them know your destination is to hell. Okay?
Right.
And they were believers of God. And the thing was, Jesus wasn't telling them that y'all need to go sit down. Y'all need to quit. God ain't never told nobody they need to go sit down. They need to, I mean, you know, mess with your pastor, your husband is a minister. I don't care what he did. Ain't nowhere in the Bible that say he need to go sit down. Only thing it say, repent.
Amen.
Only thing it said is that restore. Restore don't mean go. You put him. You pray for him that God receives him and put his heart back. David and God didn't say, David, you go sit down. But God only trying to get us to understand. You recognize that you have made some bad mistakes. You can't live. He say, be ye holy, for I am holy.
That's the word.
You just can't live any kind of way and then think you just getting ready to get into heaven. Oh, no, that ain't getting ready to happen.
Mm-mm.
That's why he say, I come for a church without a spot or a wrinkle.
That's right.
Because
and you know,
all,
the Bible said,
gifts
and comfort about repentance. Yes, we see people doing wonderful things in the church, and they haven't even repented of their sins. They haven't even repented. People think this is okay. But we need to live. We up before people preaching and teaching and always singing on songs and laying our hands on
Amen.
Phones.
Amen. Amen. And that's what God wants us to do.
He does.
Okay.
We need to be examples. We need to be examples.
Amen. That's my take on that. You know, a person can be condemned. You know, he's condemning his own self. If he's just living wrongly, the Bible
right.
talks about the fruits of the Spirit.
That's right.
So, amen.
That's right.
All right.
Yeah.
All right.
Before we get ready to end the show, I'm going to read some results off to everyone. From 520, we had, and the listeners that I give you, the large numbers are the people that the times that people have come back and listened to the show. The actual listen, the call-ins have dropped tremendously.
We'll just do it this way. The I'm gonna say archive listens. That's the ones that came back and listened to the last show was 296. The one before that, well, that was one that I did on a Saturday. I played songs and just you know spiritual songs. That was by the way, welcome to the chat room. Our new guest. We would like to welcome you to Faith-Based Purpose. That one was 295. Restoring Order to the Church, 709. God's Time is Not Your Time, 645. Exploring the Perfect Will of God, 47. Is God Grace and Forgiveness Limited, 134. Where is Purgatory and the Proper Dress for Women, 301. How Important is the Baptism, 221. There was a gospel guest on here, Paulette Wright. That one was 242.
She received an interview and played her had her music played on the show. Public Prayer and Women in Ministry, 180. Depression and Spiritual Warfare, 106. Tithes and Offering, 575. Types of Worship, 106. Is Satan the Guidance for Divine Worship, 712. And How to Recognize God's Purpose for Your Life, 76. It's been up and down, as far as, you know, getting people to come back and listen. The chat room, we have people here and there in the chat room. The callers, our high volume of callers was 15, and that was for how important is the baptism.
Okay.
So,
Amen.
I guess we're gonna work on that.
Can I share something with you, Sister Margaret? You know, I used to go preaching. I used to worry about numbers. And one time I went and preached at the church and only was five people. And I had learned it's not about numbers, it's about what you're doing. And if we stick to what we're doing, because you have to remember, the thing that we talk about, we do, is the same thing we're talking about today. Persecution ain't just when somebody's always saying something about you, but it's how people begin to accept and want to listen. The Bible talks about how there are those who have ears, itching ears, and there are those who seek sound doctrine. The one thing I've learned, and even with this show, is it don't matter to me if it's 100, if it's 75, it's 45, or 2 or 3. If I can reach 2 or 3, because the Bible says, well, 2 or 3 are gathered together. And if I can, out of that 100, if I can reach 1, I feel good when you just letting somebody know about the Word of God. The world is always going to chase after the world. You could put Bobby Blue Bland on here. You could put B.B. King. You could put Zydeco and everything else. They'll tune in if you put Beyonce on here. But when it comes to the Word, We just take pride or proudness of I deliver the message today. No matter how it turns out or how it goes, it's to God be the glory, is what I've learned.
Right.
And what I come to accept. And I'm like this here, I was excited about our topic. And one we still hadn't even touched on is how far should we go for each other? That's one thing. About being a Christian, how far you go for each other. And the thing is that when you're talking about faith-based purpose, is how far are we going to go with each other? And Jesus, when he put love there, he didn't give no limit. And God didn't put no limit on how far his love go, because as they talk about forgiveness, 70 times 70 is love. And that's when you talk about love, it's agape. That's unconditional. My thing is, we should take love as in Galatians. One of the words in Galatians talks about the fruit of the Spirit, and that is long suffering. Ain't nowhere God told us everything gonna be perfect or everything gonna be all right. It's all right if you look at it as being all right. When I look at the numbers, some days they up, some days they down. Well, that's how our lives are. Sometimes we up, sometimes we down.
Right.
It's always up. And I'm like, if we get one listener, but even I just heard you say, welcome to those of y'all who came in. There were those who left, That's all that came. And the only thing I'm praying is that somebody gets healed. You know,
right. Amen.
And that's all. That's all I'm taking joy of ever since I got on this show. And that is, what is it that we can do to help somebody? Okay? And I'm like, everybody ain't going to like it, and that's all I'm going to like. But we have to look at who are we doing it for. It has to be to the glory of God. And I pray that God will bless this show in every which way possible. I know he is. Let patience have its perfect works. And I know we not going to entirely want for nothing. And that's what I truly believe. Amen.
Man.
I
agree. And we always say, don't count numbers, we make numbers count. When I first started putting on, first got my Facebook page set up, the Lord allowed me just to pull scripture. Sometimes I would get 1, 2, 3 come in, 4, 5,
amen.
6. But let me tell you something. This is what people would do. If my grandchildren or somebody would post one of the baby pictures on there, it would be 50 or 60 people coming on that baby's picture. And you know what I thought about? Now, these people see these babies all the time. They don't even know Jesus.
Amen.
I kept on posting scripture. Computer got so powerful, and I had to put it in the shop. But you know what I told the devil? I said, you may have attacked my computer with viruses, but guess what? When I get my computer out the shop, instead of me putting 2 a day, I'm going to make sure I put 3 and 4 and 5 on there a day. I really can.
Amen. Amen.
So, you know,
amen.
About the show, and if we just get 1 or 2 listeners, it's good, where I'm going to speak in about another 35 or 40 minutes. I'm going to give the number, and I'm expecting more people to call, because there are some people that really love Jesus and really love to discuss biblical topics. So
amen.
I'd like to show it.
Amen. I totally agree with you. Hello, we still on? Okay.
Yes, we are still on.
Okay, I kind of heard a little.
I was speaking with someone in the chat room.
Okay.
Amen. But,
I'm going to have to get off. I'm getting used to my nation. So, y'all pray for me tonight that the Lord will have his way and use me in a mighty way.
All right, Minister. You take care of yourself and have a good time.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
All right. Amen. She made the church safely.
Okay. Now, if you wanted to speak on the last topic, that would be fine. I'm going to give you a little bit of a break here.
Okay.
And just for a few minutes, so you can get your thoughts together on that last topic, and which was if God accepts and loves all according to his grace. How far should we go for each other? And I know you kind of touched on that, and that was is basically, you know, is there anything that we shouldn't do for each other? Because you know, sometimes you see more than anything else people that will not help one another, and a lot of it begins. I personally believe that it begins. In their own family.
You're right.
I think Evangelist Williams asked a question a while ago, and I know she was waiting on me to talk about that, but I didn't feel like talking about it right then. She and I have been communicating today, and so she kind of knows some of the things I'm going through. And we had a really rude comment in the chat room a few minutes ago, and
that's all right.
I'm
I blocked the person, so they're gone now. So we're going to let that one go. But what she was, what the question was, the sacrifices, you know, and with that, I was, we had talked about that today, and I was, she was asking me, well, you know, what do you mean sacrificing? And I was telling her that what, there are a lot of things that you can sacrifice. You can sacrifice, it's not so much about what you give up in a sense. You know, what do you have to give up? Because she was saying, like, you know, some people give up drinking because they feel like, you know, their walk with God is growing, and they want to give up drinking, or they want to give up drugs, or they want things like that. But I guess my personal testimony is, it's been hard for me. I did it out of love, but for my, I have a I'll just say a relative that's living with me. I won't say, you know, the relationship, but I have a relative that's living with me, and this is not the first time. And I'm a private person, you know, and I like that. I like being on my own. I like having company. I love people, love having company, but I've had to make some adjustments for my relative to, you know, to allow that person to be able to have a place to live, to come in, you know, and stay for a while. And to me, that was my sacrifice. And I made that sacrifice not so much, not the, the biggest part of it was not because we are related. That wasn't it. Because I made that sacrifice before because we were related. But this time I made it because I felt that most people that know me know that if there's something I can do for someone, I'll do it. You know, that's what most of the people that know me as. And I didn't feel that it would be right, or I can't say I'm a Christian if I can't take care of home first. You know, I can't run up and down the streets taking care of and doing for other people if I can't take care of the ones in my family that need. So to me, that was my sacrifice. And that's what she was asking about. But I do know that people do make sacrifices. And in a sense, well, I think that it's not really a sacrifice, because I think the biggest thing that causes people to not be close, to not be able to live a godly life, is when they deal with things such as, and I won't say wealth, I'll say abuse of wealth and abuse of power. You know, greed, let's just say, sum them up to be greed. When you know, there are greedy people that are out there that's, you know, just greedy. You know, people that's vain, that think everything is about them. I also see that there are some people, and I've run across people that are very, that they feel that their status, you know, what level they're on, or their, do you know what I mean? That, you know, like, they feel that they're above others, and that they're, you know, everybody else is beneath them. And I think that causes a person to not live godly. And you know, that's my take on it. I think when people strive for revenge, or to practice revenge, you know, going to get even with somebody for something that, you know, I think that's it. You know, those are the things. I think the last thing, you know, I think all of us are guilty of pleasure. You know, being just self-seeking pleasure. And I don't know anybody that haven't lived that life. I personally don't know anybody that haven't lived that life at some point, whether they overindulge in coffee or a Dr. Pepper,
because I had a weakness for Dr. Pepper for years. You know, couldn't get out of bed without a Dr. Pepper. So, you know, I think things like that are the things that causes, you know, people to not walk, you know, godly. Now, what were you going to say?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, how far should we go? And the thing is that now love, when we're talking about a godly love and the grace of God,
mm-hmm.
first of all, for the listeners that are listening and those in the chat room, as I tell people, no matter how your opinion feel or what you think when it comes to the Word of God,
mm-hmm.
how far do you go? I ain't everybody and everybody ain't me.
Mm-hmm.
But now when it comes to the Word of God, grace. Well, if you're in the chat room, you go to what grace means. When you go to the word love, love in the Greek is agape. And agape is unconditional. It has no limit. Understand, the God that we talk about, you believe in, the Jesus, the Holy Spirit, if you have all three of those in you, love has no limit. Because God loved, so loved the world in John 3:16. Jesus came preaching John 3:16.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously. Because when Jesus went on the Sermon on the Mountain in chapter 5 and chapter 6, all the way over to chapter 7, and in all his teachings of the Bible, it was talking about love. Because the Pharisees had no love for care. They had no love for care. Now, you said the very first thing, Sister Moderator, and that is love and charity, which is charity, and love is the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
And charity begins at home. We were telling folks that in Sunday school Sundays. It's all right to go outside the wall. Jesus said go among the hedges. But first, he had to take care of them disciples first before he can go take care. He was trying to teach them.
Mm-hmm.
And so the thing is that over in the book of 1 Peter, you said it. In 1 Peter chapter 4, in verses 9, okay, it says, use hospitality. This is talking about the church now. This is family. He was saying, use hospitality one to another without grudging.
Mm-hmm.
When God loves a cheerful giver, that you don't think about it, you ain't trying to grudge. The one thing people do is offer. And when they offer, and things don't go the way they expect, then they mad and upset. But you have to remember, you did it, as you say, out of love. And to keep the love there is, remember, if that person came and asked you, you said, okay, you did it out of love and compassion. And the God that we serve did everything for us out of love and compassion, which is grace. And so we have to remember, God never shortened that love. Even when Jesus died, he still, in grace, still give us a chance each and every day we wake up. Many of us was in a car wreck. Many of us was almost about to die. And God stepped in,
mm-hmm.
gave you another chance. Not a second chance, but another chance. The forgiveness of sin. He said 70 times 70. That's love. And we, in other words, grace, agape has no limits. We put limits on how we're going to show. The first thing is, is that Sister Sugar, everybody is not going to be conscious of what they do. Not just me. I'm not telling everybody they have to. But if you are of the kingdom of God, when Jesus said, deny yourself, over in the book of Luke 9 and 22 and 26, if those who are watching, go and read it. Pick up your cross and deny yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Jesus went to the cross. In that courtroom, when they said, crucify, they let a thief go, and they hung him as a thief among two thieves. And Jesus still died upon that cross because he denied himself.
Okay.
He denied himself to do what? And that was to die for us.
Okay.
And here...
Now, we want to kind of, I mean, I know it's all related, but we want to make sure we stay on how far do we go for others.
Well, that's why in all of short, it's limited. You don't go, it's continuous.
It's unlimited.
Because if you go to Galatians,
yeah.
It's unlimited. If you go to Galatians chapter 5,
mm-hmm.
and if you look at verse 22
mm-hmm.
in chapter 5 of Galatians, it says the fruit of the Spirit. The Spirit is love. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. That's number one. That's the first thing it put in there. Joy.
Mm-hmm.
Have joy doing. That's a part of love, peace, okay? Then you got the big word there, long-suffering.
Mm-hmm.
I had to learn that. My wife here, y'all won't get me in trouble. But I had to learn that in my marriage.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what happened, love them as Christ loved the church.
Okay.
I don't care what they, okay?
Mm-hmm.
The only thing I'm saying is that people are going to come in, and what I'm trying to get to is part of what you were talking about, is that people are going to come in and misuse you and have no thought about what they're doing. Now, that's not saying you don't say nothing, you know, because that's still your house. You don't let them tap you out. But you do let them know in love, hey, look, I need you to do this.
Mm-hmm.
You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah, well, I understand. I was looking at John 13, 34 and 35.
13, 34. Okay.
Chapter 13, verse 34 and 35. When we were talking about how far do you go for, you know, one another. And it says, the new commandment I give to you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. Now, that's something I want to discuss. Is loving one another, watch your pages, loving one another is a given. That's just something that we automatically know we're supposed to do that. And we say that we love one another, but many are not willing to show love for one another. It's a big thing. Loving one another is a huge thing to me, because I kind of learned from relationships, from personal relationships, that love is a selfish thing. It's a real selfish thing, and I don't know if I mentioned this to you before, over the past few months, but I say love is a selfish thing for one reason, because only the person that's feeling it does it benefit. And I know that might not make sense, but I'm going to explain it this way. If I tell you that I love you and I truly love you, you can't see what's in my heart. You can't see it. You can't feel it. You no matter what I feel, I can fuss at you every day for a whole month, and in my heart I could feel nothing but love for you, and you'll never feel that, because it's what's in me that I feel, you see. So to me, on that sense, love is selfish. And that's why, you know, a lot of times when things happen, well, you know, I just lost somebody important to me. And to me, I had to realize it was a selfish thing for me, because it wasn't his suffering that ended that I was concerned about at the time. It was my loss that I was concerned about. You know, mm-hmm. it's a selfish thing. And I kind of learned this. I used to tell, you know, my children this all the time when they were growing up, and they would, you know, talk about, you know, this person, this you know, who they were dating or whatever. And I'm like, but you love them. But, you know, if they don't love you back, that's okay, because that's your feeling. You're dealing with your feeling. You're not dealing with that person's feeling. And that's what I think love is about. And if we could learn that what's in our heart is what we're supposed to do, and that'll keep us true to our walk with God. If we do what's in our heart and not worry about what the other person is feeling, you know, then mm-hmm. we'll be able to have a faith walk. You know, but once we start trying to decide if it's being reciprocated, then that's where the problems come in. Well, I'm doing this for you, and you're not doing this for me, or I did this for them, and they don't do nothing for me, or, you know, all they do is ask me to do something, and I just keep doing it. Then, to me, that's not the love. You're not doing it out of love. You know, you're doing it either for show, you're doing it to get something out of it, or you're doing it to trick somebody to make them think, you know, mm-hmm. something. You know, your actions are in vain. So,
right.
You know, and that's why I say with me, you know, and I told my cousin, who's a pastor, you know, that's what I was telling you, you know, somebody today, that I have a cousin who's a pastor, and we were talking, I guess, about 4 or 5 years ago or so, and we were talking about, you know, the Word of God. And he said, you know, he was going to do a sermon or something. He said, you know, if I could just find a way to help people understand how to serve, you know, about serving God. And he thought it was funny what I told him. I said, well, to me, serving the Lord is easy. It's simple. You know, people just make it hard. You can make things as hard as you want to make them. And to me, serving the Lord is just one thing, just loving one another, treating that person the way you want them to treat you, you know. And if you do that, then everything else is going to fall in line. If each person is treating the next person the way they want to be treated, there's no room for yelling and screaming and anger and hatred and all that, because nobody want to be hated. And nobody want to be yelled at. I know I hate being yelled at. I despise somebody to raise their voice to me. So, you know that. You know that. You know I don't like people raise their voice to me, don't you?
Yeah.
So you know, it's just about just loving each other. That's all it is. That's what the Christian walk is, loving each other. Because if you love each other, you know you're loving God. You know, because he's not here for us to show him in many other ways other than to love each other.
Well, that's what God demonstrated, Jesus demonstrated, and the Holy Spirit, let me put it like this. If you have the Holy Spirit and if you allow the Holy Spirit, you can demonstrate it. In our lives, we want to use buts and ands. If somebody loved me, then I'm going to love them. But Jesus had to say that's how the hypocrites do. That's how the world does. You see? And the thing is that love can be in different types of ways. It can be on emotions. There are different types of meanings for love. But the biggest one is the agape, which is God. You have the sternal, I forgot how they go. But you have the love of emotions. You have the love a mother has for a child.
Yeah, but see, what we're talking about is Christian love. We're talking about godly love, you know.
Philadelphia love.
Because if we're talking about a faith-based program, then that's not even a part of the, you know, the faith-based love. What we're talking about,
philo love. But you were saying earlier about a friend when we find selfish, sometimes our love can go into selfish, because the thing is that when you're a Christian, if you think about people, that's why I say denying ourselves. In other words, it's unselfish love. It's love that you have for people.
That's godly love. Said. That's what I'm saying. Are you saying then that it's not a godly love?
No, I'm saying that is a godly love.
Okay,
that's what I said.
This is a godly love.
Right. In other words, you were saying that when a friend passed away, we have to be unselfish because they the one laying there in suffering.
Well, I said that. That's what I said.
I'm just saying, just letting
right.
people know that you're saying what
right.
is right.
Okay, let's do this. Let me do this. Let me play a song real quick, and we'll get back to the show. We're going to take a little break here. We only have a few more minutes left in the show, and we're going to play we'll play a song and get back to the show.
All right.
No matter what's going on in my life, I got to act the way I should. out there know that working for the Lord is a 24-hour job. And that it's not in what you say or in the songs that you sing that defines your relationship with the Lord, but it's rather in the way that you live. Ooh. And not only that, but we gotta learn to love one another, because Jesus is love. It's my love. Yeah. So saints, we gotta stop playing church and begin to start living what we preach about. It's your job.
We're back, and I hope you enjoyed that song. It's my job here on Faith-Based Purpose. We are at the end of our show. We're going to let Reverend Williams give his final thoughts on the show. Just kind of sum up what we've covered so far.
Just to sum up, what is it? What does it mean to be a Christian? The one thing is, if you identify what a Christian is and how it started, as we were talking earlier, that at Antioch in the book of Acts, chapter 11 and 26, were in a town, the townspeople began to bash them and call them Christians. And so the people took on the word Christian and began to live that of what they represented. Then looking at what Jesus says, pick up your cross daily, knowing what your cross is, the persecution that you go through, the dishonesty that we live in today's time, all the things that we deal with, and then understanding the sacrifices is the same thing. Is to pick up your cross daily and denying yourself the sacrifice. That God denied himself his own son. In John 3:16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. That even Jesus in the book of Philippians chapter 2, who thought of himself not robbery to be equal with God, but took up on the flesh and made himself of no reputation. That Jesus gave up all that he liked in it. Where he was sitting on the right hand of God, came down and dwelled among us and lived in the flesh. And then looking at how far do the grace of God, that love goes, it's not limited, but it's endless. Love goes on and on. It's just like forgiveness, 70 times 70. And God wants us to continually, each and every day, to show love, even when love is not shown to you. And even when people not going to be what you want them to be, because God still loves us, even when we're not being what he wants us to be. And God still shows that love each and every day. So that's what we should love, do to each other. And because the Bible says, how can you love God who you never see and hate your brother? You can say you don't hate him, but if you don't show no love, come on. Love and the opposite of love is hate. So God wants us to be able to be good Christians and to walk as Christians. And because the Bible tells us to be holy and be ye holy, for he is holy. Amen. That's all I have for the wrap up. Amen.
All right. Our next week's session was supposed to be sin consciousness, but I think that we're going to change the format of the shows. we're not going to have the discussions. I think what we will do is, beginning in our, on our next show, what we will do, we will discuss Bible verses. And the Bible verses that we will discuss on the next show is going to be from John. We're going to have several. One will be from John 13, verses 34 and 35. The next one will be from 1 John 3, 10 through 12, 16 through 18, chapter 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 13, and then chapter 19. Okay, so there's John chapter 13, verses 34 through 35. 1 John chapter 3, verses 10 through 12. And then verses 16 through 18. Then we're going to skip to 1 John chapter 4, verses 7 through 13. And then we're going to skip over to verse 19.
All right.
And I hope everyone has that. And we're going to put the discussions on hold for later. We may pick those up a little bit later, but I think the format needs to change for a short while, and just start discussing books of the Bible. I hope everyone will continue to join us, and as we do that. If there's a certain book in the Bible for the listeners, if there's a certain book of the Bible that you would like reviewed, most of you know how to get in touch with me. You can inbox me on Facebook, or you can send me a message through the Blog Talk site. We also have a page on Facebook, which is Faith Based Purpose. You can look it up on Facebook. You can go back there and listen to the past segments that we've had. And leave us a comment. Let us know how we're doing. And we appreciate you listening in. And what I'm going to do now is we're going to end the show. Reverend Williams, we're going to end the show. And I'm going to let a song play us out. And we will see you back here again on Monday. Now, we do know that Monday is a holiday before anybody points that out to us, but I did speak with Evangelist Williams, and she said it didn't matter to her that it was a holiday. She was still fine with it. So if Reverend Williams is fine with it, then we'll be back on the 27th. Now, Reverend Williams, I'll get with you a little bit later because I'm sure you already have some thoughts on the sin consciousness topic that we were scheduled. So what we may do is move it over to maybe Saturday morning or maybe even 8 o'clock Friday night. When I'm not absolutely sure on that because I have to get with the rest of them. But it will be posted. So be sure and check back on this site for updates on what we have coming up next.
All righty.
Okay. All right, and we're gonna close out with "Do What the Lord Say Do."
Amen. All right, everybody have a good evening. Be blessed.
All right, you too.
What the Lord say do? Come on, clap your hands. I'm gonna do what the Lord said to you. I tried lying, I tried gambling, I tried everything under the sun. I'm gonna do what the Lord said to you. Lord, I'm gonna do what the Lord said to you. Yeah, I'm gonna do, do what the Lord said do. I tried everything under the sun. I'm gonna do what the Lord said do.
I had enough heartache
many ups and downs. Don't know how much more I can take. See, I decided that I cried my last tears yesterday. Either I'm gonna trust you, or I may as well walk away. For stressing don't make it better. Don't make it better, no way. See, I decided.